information is free.
The law?
There is hope.
When ignorance is converted into knowledge,
we care.
Here to border
and it shows.
The law?
The country.
You will remember nothing you have seen or heard here.
Whether he went on with the diary, or whether he did not cooperate, made no difference. The thought police would get him just the same.
You don't have to come and confess. We're looking for you. We're going to find you. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to episode 182 of Media Monarchy. It's Friday the 13th, August 2010, and my name's James Evan Pilato. I'm your host and webmaster of the site and show, MediaMonarchy.com, your source for alternative news, politics, conspiracies, and cover-ups. This week, viral videos and media memes with Stephen Slater, Antoine Dotson, Matthew Simmons, Ted Stevens, and a cast of thousands. A heavy news purge with nuke clouds, mega farms, brawls, and limited drawdowns. Plus, of course, all the latest alternative news from New World Next Week, Corbett Report, Ground Zero, Cyberspace War, Food World Order, all that, so much more. Friday, August 13th, 2010, episode 182 of Media Monarchy. com.
Monthly, it's a violent thing. In the city, there are stars.
How are you going to lift it with your arms folded tight? That is, of course, brand new music from Arcade Fire. That's the B-side from the title track, first single from their brand new third record, The Suburbs. You may have heard of it, since apparently it debuted at number one in the U.S., in the U.K., and Ireland. And it's quite fitting. Not bad for a band on an indie label. And that's what it's about here, ladies and gentlemen. Alternative news, alternative media, politics, conspiracies, cover-ups, media, memes, all that, so much more. My name's James Evan Pilato. I'm your host and webmaster of the site and show, MediaMonarchy.com. Friday the 13th, yet again. It's August 13th, 2010, and this is episode 182 for Media Monarchy. And we are, of course, as always, broadcasting live from the Portland Radio Authority, praradio.org, every Friday morning at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, and simulcast worldwide thanks to ZeroPointRadio.com and RevereRadio.net, kicking it out worldwide. ZeroPointRadio.com also blasts out on 92.3 FM and 1670 AM in Casper, Wyoming. We've got Free Radio Olympia in Olympia, Washington, 98.5 FM or FROlympia.org, 104.1 FM in Berkeley, California, BerkeleyLiberationRadio.net, OneSkyRadio.com in Kisilov, Alaska, KWMD, 90.7 FM, and our newest affiliate, Patriot Radio, 89.9 in La Mesa, Texas. Huge thanks. And of course, radio23.org is where you can get the high quality downloads of all the episodes from Media Monarchy suitable for rebroadcast on your personal community indie pirate media outlet. Don't ask, just spread the information. You can get in touch with me any number of ways. Facebook.com/Media Monarchy and on through MySpace, Twitter, YouTube, Ustream.tv/Media Monarchy, streaming and recording live video as we speak. We're on Blip, CafePress.com/Media Monarchy. You can get you a shirt, which I am modeling as we speak. Email MediaMonarchy@gmail.com. Send me news tips. They are greatly appreciated. Skype, Instant Messenger, iTunes, RadioForAll.net, and Archive.org. We, of course, implore you to donate if you find this alternative media outlet useful, resourceful. Spread some love, like some of you hopefully did to our friends at ZeroPointRadio.com. Getting over the hump, staying on the air. So, huge thanks to all the folks who helped make that happen. And let's keep it going, because that's how it works. Whatever analogy you like, many hands make light work. Or any nautical analogies you like, that's what it's about. That's, we share this information. It's all open source. It's all fair use as far as we're concerned. We're not making money off of it. It's not for profit. The meager monies that we take in just funds and spreads the operations that we're trying to fulfill in this information war. It's a war on consciousness. That's what it comes down to. Speaking of thanks, thanks for all the birthday love from folks out there. I turned 33 on the 11th, born in 77. And something I want to throw out that I realized while, good Lord, there's a bunch of 2012 things to stream on Netflix. And I did learn, and we'll hop over to Wikipedia right now, for the Mesoamerican long count calendar, the non-repeating calendar used by several pre-Columbian Mesoamerican cultures, most notably the Maya. For this reason, it's known as the Mayan long count calendar. Using a modified tally, the long count calendar identifies a day by counting the number of days passed since a mythical creation date that corresponds to August 11th, 3114 BC in the Gregorian calendar. So that's not a bad day to be born, August 11th. You know, I do share it with Jerry Falwell and Hulk Hogan. But that's neither here nor there, my friends. Before we get into all the alternative news, politics, conspiracies and cover-ups and media memes, all that and so much more, we always like to glance at Google News and see what's going on. Facing ethics charges, Representative Maxine Waters points fingers at the Bush administration. Russia moving ahead with Iran nuclear reactor, and euro slips as debt worries outweigh strong data. Strong data coming from the international financier oligarchs. Oh, and if I look at the Portland area news, which comes up for me on Google News, Lady Gaga takes over Portland. That's right. The Illuminati symbolism of Lady Gaga coming to the Rose Garden next Thursday. Maybe there'll be some folks out there, maybe handing out articles and things from VigilantCitizen.com. But that's what's happening in the Google News world. And I also wanted to thank, again, speaking of birthday love, thanks to my man Richard Grove of TragedyAndHope.com for giving me the perfect product for my birthday. And we are currently in the chat room over on ZeroPointRadio.com. And like I said, streaming live video, all that and so much more. All right here, MediaMonarchy.com. Let's get into it. We're going to start with the third story we covered on the most recent episode of NewWorldNextWeek.com, and I call it the Take This Job and Shove It meme, brought to you by corporate media. Steven Slater, you may have had enough of your job, but people can't get enough of you. Disgruntled workers of the world have united behind you. Flight attendants walk a little taller, thanks to Steven Slater. And we get reports from the Washington Post, as well as the Los Angeles Times and groups on Facebook. Fired up flight attendant Steven Slater was walking on air as he emerged from jail Tuesday night as a folk hero. Slater, 38, transformed into a folk hero after he cursed out a nasty passenger over a plane intercom, grabbed some beer, and fled down an emergency slide at Kennedy Airport Sunday. Now, you can look at this story, I feel, in at least two ways. One, it's people standing up against corporations who treat them like garbage, who won't let them perhaps deal with unruly clients or customers. So you can say, yeah, stick it to the man. Or even, you know, I'm mad as hell and not going to take it anymore. But to me, as I started to see all the memes come out, and we're going to listen to one of the tracks made in tribute to Steven Slater, JetBlue song, folk hero. When I started to see NBC, General Electric, and all the other mainstream corporate-controlled media outlets pushing this story, it almost made me wonder if they're pushing the idea of, yeah, quit your job, yeah, stick it to the man. That just means we don't have to fire your ass or outsource you, and when you quit, we don't have to worry about unemployment benefits. Yeah, way to stick it to the man. So, as James Corbett said, of course, yeah, we can kind of live vicariously through this, and this is why this meme has exploded so much. But I think, and that's basically just what I'm trying to put out there, and what we try and do on MediaMonarchy.com, is do a little bit of the data mining and just kind of point out some puzzle pieces, not saying for a second that I've got it all together and I've got all the puzzle pieces and this is it. As always, don't take my word on any of this. It's all linked up on MediaMonarchy.com and all the other sites. Do the research for yourself, and hell, come back to the cave and report and tell us about these shadows on the wall. There was another story, which I initially heard about before it was revealed as a hoax. the viral I Quit Girl. This girl who supposedly quit her job through this series of photos where she wrote out messages on a dry erase board. Each photo was a new message as it told this story through like 30-plus photos. Turns out later it was just a PR stunt for some website, but it tied in perfectly. And one of the most recent comments we've gotten on this posting, take this job and shove it meme, brought to you by corporate media. Big Dan of Big Dan's Big Blog, which is a great site. He mentions someone you may have forgotten about by this point, but is worth noting as we're talking about Stephen Slater. Joe the Plumber, anyone? And yes, maybe ultimately Andy Warhol was right, and everybody's going to get their 15 minutes. And we're only going to see that more throughout this episode, the good and the bad and the ugly. But let's listen to the track. This is the track that really started to make me wonder about this take this job and shove it meme. Here's Jimmy Fallon with the JetBlue song.
This here is the story of a man from JetBlue. Got pushed around on the job, so he did what he had to do. The passenger was getting rude. Steven grabbed two ice cold beers. He got on the PA and said, "There goes 28 years. And then he took them beers and jumped. He took two beers and jumped. He took two beers and jumped. Yeah, he took two beers and jumped. So when your boss is riding your ass, you gotta get two beers and jump. When your truck ain't got no gas, you gotta get two beers and jump. 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 So when you learn your wife's been cheating, you gotta get two beers and jump. When your phone ain't getting no reception, you gotta get two beers and jump. When you've had enough of your congressman, you gotta get two beers and jump. When you burn your eggs in a frying pan, you gotta get two beers and jump. When the dishes are piling up in the sink, you gotta get two beers and jump. When your favorite pen runs out of ink. It's easy, get two beers and jump. When people have ugly feet and wear flip-flops, you gotta get two beers and jump. When the bank forecloses on your house, you gotta get two beers and jump. When the batteries die on your wireless mouse, you gotta get two beers and jump. When someone tells you what happened on Jersey Shore, you gotta get two beers and jump. When you're mad as hell and I can't take it anymore, you gotta get two beers and jump.
There you go. There it is. The JetBlue song from Jimmy Fallon, Get Two Beers and Jump. So, like we were saying, it kind of mashes up the reason. So, if you, you know, see ugly feet or burn your eggs, you gotta get two beers and jump. Or, if you're sick of your congressman and you're mad as hell and can't take it anymore, you gotta get two beers and jump. Is this the idea of the establishment media pushing the memes of telling us to revolt? They want us to lose our shit. And they've pretty much set everything in place to deal with that when it happens. So they can say it's for the terrorists, and they can say it's for the immigrants, but ultimately it's going to be for anybody. Oh, you don't like that your house is foreclosed on by shady banksters and all their wheelings and dealings? Oh, well, we have ways of dealing with you. So there's the first, but it's not going to be the last of our interesting viral memes and folk heroes and false anti-heroes and more and more and more. We're going to get more of that in just a little bit. But it's time now to jump to the August 12th news purge, asking the musical question, as we heard from our intro song, how are you going to lift it with your arms folded tight? And of course, this is posted up on MediaMonarchy.com each week when we can't cover all the stories. We just put the headlines up, and again, it's all there for you laid out to go research for yourself. We go through it alphabetically, and we'll start with 9/11 updates. We got a couple of bits. First, as this has gone on week after week after week, the mosque meme, the Ground Zero mosque meme. We reported on Pat Robertson suing to stop the Ground Zero mosque last week. But this week, if we jump over to Germany, the German mosque used by 9/11 attackers shut down. This coming from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. It's called the Taiba Mosque now, but it's the mosque formerly known as the Al-Quds Mosque. And you should hop over to historycommons.org to read all about that mosque and Muhammad Atta and how international authorities knew what was going on there back in the 90s. The other bit of 9/11 news is a great video compilation of C-SPAN trying and failing to cover the facts of the official conspiracy theory of 9/11. Caller after caller after caller calling out their establishment guest, who, of course, can't even admit what we all know, and so many of these things are available in mainstream outlets. They're just forgotten. Most, if not all, of the 9/11 commissioners said they felt like they were set up to fail, that they were being stonewalled by the Pentagon. Max Cleland called it a farce or a shame. Firefighters called it the same thing. But We just can't talk about that elephant in the room. We can't talk about the events of 9/11. We can't talk about the blank check that's funding every egregious, illegal, soul-destroying thing going on around the world tacitly in our name. Yeah, there's a new guy with a new face, and he's a little bit smarter, and he's a little bit cuter, and he's a little bit better. But the same agendas go on. If you trace it back, you're going to find the same organizations. Oh, sometimes it's Brzezinski, but sometimes it's Rockefellers and Kissingers. Sometimes it's Halliburton, and sometimes it's the Council of National Policy, or God knows what. Same agendas, same groups, same bloodlines. What did we go over last week? The 12-year-old girl who proved that royal bloodlines? Yeah. But you could be president when you grow up. I'm digressing. Let's continue through the news purge and get to the latest BioWars and ViroHealth updates. We've lost track now of how many weeks and days since the Gulf oil spill, and still horrific news. If we hop over to digitaljournal.com, scientists say the government Gulf oil spill report is, quote, ludicrous. A new government report suggests oil that reached shore from the Deepwater Horizon spill site and became buried in sand will degrade through natural process, but some scientists are at odds over it, one calling the spill a 3D catastrophe. This report, released last week by National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, NOAA, called Deepwater Horizon Oil Budget, What Happened to the Oil?, has drawn the ire for some scientists. The report says the vast majority of the oil that was allowed to contaminate the Gulf of Mexico has disappeared, thanks to robust cleanup efforts and nature's ability to take care of itself. Oh, I guess sometimes nature has the ability to take care of itself, but other times, no, we have to tax you into oblivion because it can't take care of itself. It's all selectively enforced, my friends. We can hit redactednews.blogspot.com for disappearing oil and Gulf seafood. Does it pass the sniff test? Smoke cloud covers Moscow. Authorities warn of radioactive cloud. A good report from thirdage.com, but the most recent bit I could find 3 hours ago from the French agency Press, U.S. sending aid to help Russia firefight effort, of course noting how well our relations with Russia have improved ever since Obama came in. And of course, we had the successful terror drills jointly run last week, in this past week, and we're going to reference that. But if we run down to the bottom of the article to give you the breakdown on this Russian nuke cloud, Russian authorities say more than 50 people have died in the fires in the midst of a heat wave described by experts as the worst in the thousand-year history of the country. Nearly 50,000 people were battling the fires, which on Friday, today, the 13th, were raging dangerously close to Russia's main nuclear research center in Sarov. There have also been fears the fires could stir up particles on land in western Russia still contaminated by the 1986 Chernobyl nuclear disaster. One man-made nuclear environmental catastrophe after another. Funny, though, I don't feel like I've made these catastrophes happen. Funny, though, it somehow always goes back to the military-industrial complex. Funny, though, we never talk about that when we want to talk about the environment. We don't talk about the war machine. Both phony sides of the corrupt, controlled, political, left-right paradigm. But now if we get back to the North American Union, if we hop over to Frederick, Maryland, which I have spent a bit of time in and do have a handful of friends from there. Used to go record shopping there and maybe, unfortunately, even get a little bit of Taco Bell. But if we hop to allgov.com, and we do have a video report from the local news there on a cancer cluster near Fort Detrick in Frederick, Maryland.
And 7 is on your side tonight with a health warning for people who live near Fort Detrick in Maryland. Researchers say the soil there may be contaminated, causing health problems for neighbors. Rebecca Cooper is live now with more on this potential danger. Rebecca?
Well, Sinead, some residents of Frederick whose family members are dying have teamed up with experts and come to Washington, D.C. to insist that there is contamination at Fort Detrick that is causing deadly cancer clusters.
I believe the people of Frederick needs to know there is a serial killer in their backyard called Fort Detrick.
Randy White says his daughter, wife, and 400 neighbors all got cancer living in Frederick. He insists it's a cancer cluster caused by Agent Orange and other toxins tested or used at Fort Detrick. This is the part of Fort Detrick considered to have the highest levels of contamination. B11 running along Shookstown Road. Bill Krantz spent 76 years on his Shookstown Road family farm. Five immediate family members got cancer.
I spent an awful hard time there, much of my wife being sick. It's a year and a half of something you never would believe, you know. It caused by something we had no idea was ever going to happen there, because we lived there all my life.
Fort Detrick officials say Agent Orange was used, as well as industrial solvents. Officials are taking steps to clean up the contamination, but admit it's not complete. Along Shookstown Road, where there are many homes, crews digging had no idea there might be possible contamination. Neither did many residents.
They're going to check it. If it's not safe, they're not going to drink it.
That makes me a little nervous, because I definitely drink from my tap, and if my well is in the contaminated area, that would make me nervous.
Randy White is worried water is just part of the problem and wants a congressional investigation.
I believe the water is a small percentage of what we're talking about. You're talking vapor intrusion where it comes up through the ground. You're talking about our streams, our creeks. Agent Orange is one of the most deadliest chemicals known to man today, and they sprayed the entire area.
Fort Detrick officials are not confirming any cancer clusters, but they are meeting with area residents, and they're checking their records to try and determine exactly how much Agent Orange was used. Meantime, the work continues to try and cover up the contaminated landfills, but Fort Detrick officials acknowledge there is simply no way around some groundwater contamination. Still, Frederick officials insist there is no threat to the community. Reporting live in Northwest D.C., Rebecca Cooper, ABC 7.
So there's no threat, and there's no way around the threat. Because, hell, what are you going to do? We're the military-industrial complex. We are working very hard to create destructive biological and chemical weapons that can be released on our enemies. If you look at the Project for a New American Century reports, we talk about using race-specific bioweapons. Google that, race-specific bioweapons. And just somehow, when these things get out, they trace back to, of course, the only places that have the technological advancements, and I use the term loosely, to create these kind of life-destroying biological and chemical weapons. Oops, there was a drill. Oops, there was a mistake. Oops, there was a lone gunman attack with anthrax, of course, Fort Detrick and all that. And it relates. Let's hop on down to Kentucky. Leaking sarin gas rocket discovered at Kentucky Depot. U.S. Army said Tuesday a leaking sarin nerve agent-filled rocket had been discovered during inspections of chemical weapons storage structures at the Bluegrass Army Depot in Kentucky. The low-level agent vapor was confined to the interior of the shipping and firing tube, and no agent blah, blah, blah. The Kentucky Depot stores 523 tons of mustard blister agent and sarin and VX nerve agent. Chemical disarmament work at the site is projected to end in 2021. I guess on a better note, however, from bioprepwatch.com, Oregon's Umatilla facility passes halfway mark for destroying their chemical weapons over in eastern Oregon. Speaking of Oregon, e-cigarette maker agrees to halt sales in Oregon. That's from the Associated Press. Massachusetts residents fight aerial insecticide spraying. That's from naturalnews.com. And with a petition on thepetitionsite.com, stop Jane Burgermeister from going to prison for speaking the truth. Jane Burgermeister, an Austrian reporter, basically broke the story of the World Health Organization and the swine flu panic. And if we hit this link, we see that they've now exceeded the signatures. They were trying to get 1,000 on thepetitionsite.com. She is looking at jail time for doing investigative journalism, the kind of which our corporate-controlled media doesn't really do, unless, of course, it fits their overall agenda. The interesting thing that this ties into, or at least connects to, in a way, is with Dr. Leonard Horowitz, who you may recall I interviewed when we were at the conspiracy conference back in June in Santa Clara, California. And I believe I referenced last week a sort of media blackout on the mysterious death of a different investigative journalist, a guy named Christopher Story, who apparently, a.k.a. has some other name, who apparently supposedly ran worldreports.org. Leonard Horowitz is somehow being fingered and being connected with the death of Christopher Story. And again, ultimately, we don't like to go down to into all these bickering holes of which team do you like best in the conspiracy movements. We don't play that game. We don't bicker. We don't fight. We don't spend our time attacking folks who we may not find credible. And again, it's not about finding one leader whose words you take as 100% gospel. It can't be done. We can't always be looking for the daddy figure. See, and that's how they kind of catch you. Well, get outside the box, but they've got 8 more boxes set up for you. But again, I digress. Feds investigating Merck sales overseas, Department of Justice, and the Securities and Exchange Commission, two, of course, trustworthy and outstanding organizations, are both investigating Merck over its sales practices overseas. AP reports citing new regulatory filings. Both the DOJ and SEC have sent letters to the New Jersey-based pharmaceutical giant seeking info about its compliance with the Foreign Corrupt Practices Act, which prohibits companies from bribing foreign officials to win overseas contracts. We'll see if that turns into anything. But again, we're unfortunately dealing with corporations that, of course, are people with deep enough pockets that they can throw a few million for some settlements. No biggie. It's a loss leader. Naturalnews.com, again, World Health Organization list reveals flu advisors with financial ties to the pharma and vaccine manufacturers. Surprise, surprise. Again, it's the revolving door, the lobbyists, the administration positions, the private sector gigs, the fellowships, the consulting jobs, military, pharma, media, the control industry. Our last BioWars Enviro Health story we grab from Reuters. Puberty coming earlier for U.S. girls. Girls in the U.S. may be reaching, or rather may be continuing to hit puberty at earlier ages. According to new research, findings suggest earlier development than what was reported in 97, showing a worrying pattern. Girls hit puberty earlier, more likely to engage in risky behavior. And I believe I ran a find. Yeah, let's do it. D-I-E-T. Yes, they mentioned the word diet once in this story. Researchers know that heavier girls are more likely to enter puberty earlier. Lee of the University of Michigan said that could be because overweight people have more of a hormone known to be linked to development, but it also could be a matter of the actual nutrients that girls get from their diet. But let's not talk about that. Let's not talk about the root causes of things. Let's throw money at shit that blows up in our face. How about that? Continuing down the news purge, a quick couple of notes on the drug war front, the perhaps failing and flailing and perhaps most frighteningly stealthily morphing war on drugs. Our first note, hidden in a Wisconsin national forest, it's a marijuana mega farm. Northern Wisconsin's Nicolet National Forest is a vast, verdant getaway for hundreds of thousands of campers, hikers, and anglers every year. But hidden within was a marijuana mega farm. Apparently, mega farm is a real word that the Associated Press will use. Investigators say a band of Hispanic men turned the forest's southern tip into a giant pot farm, growing thousands of plants on remote plots, moving supplies along forgotten logging roads, and buying supplies and ammunition at local stores. Nobody in law enforcement has said it publicly, but the style matches that of Mexican cartels that have been using public land in the United States to grow vast amounts of marijuana and avoid the risk and expense of, you know, smuggling the drugs across the border. Just to be sure, it's a plant that grows on the earth naturally. It wasn't hatched in a bio lab. It wasn't genetically engineered. Whomever your creator God or beginning events are, put it here for a reason. But on the flip side, from the Christian Science Monitor, Calderon on Mexico's drug war, that's the president now, and he says, stay the course. Stay the course on the corrupt and completely, utterly, illegally, brutally, murderously failed drug war. And again, they make more money off keeping it illegal. And of course, this ties in with the border wars, with the immigration wars, and all of these things are happening, of course, by design. We didn't just suddenly forget how to secure a border. We didn't just suddenly forget how to deal with health issues and drug issues. It's all, unfortunately, happening by design. Do I have an answer? No. But hopefully forewarned is forearmed, and more information will help us all make better decisions. Let's move to Econo Crash. And it's ugly. Economists herald new Great Depression. You can see this headline all around. But we're going to grab this from Steve Watson. Figures comparable to 1930s, central bankers have stood in the way of recovery. The world currently experiencing the modern-day equivalent of the Great Depression, according to a prominent economist who has added his voice to the scores of others now forecasting ongoing economic doom on a scale not seen since the 1930s. Now add Robin Griffiths, technical strategist at Cazenove Capital, told CNBC last Monday that he sees the stock market bottoming out in October as the world has entered significant financial depression. A double dip is inevitable and imminent. And Keynesian stimulus measures have never worked anywhere. We are in the equivalent of a Great Depression following 3 years of credit crisis. That's the thing to remember. The stock market of the Great Depression happened in October of 1929. It wasn't the depression the next day. it took about 3 years for everything to pretty much completely fall apart. And that's unfortunately what we're looking at as the summer gets hotter. And again, these sort of events and memes of riots and revolt are being stoked and prodded and praised. We're building up to perhaps some type of October surprise, to use that oft-abused phrase. But on down the EconoCrash list, Federal Reserve downgrades outlook for U.S. We also note from an article on Bloomberg, and this is a great one, Lawrence Kotlikoff notes that the U.S. is bankrupt and we don't even know it. And again, there's a video report. It goes through a lot of stuff, perhaps worse than Greece. However, as we already said just a few moments ago, one thing that is not mentioned in any of these articles, correctly pointing out the doom situation that we're in because Western finance oligarchs seized control of our money-making operation back in 1913, implemented even more in 1933, right as the Great Depression was about to kick in full. The war machine. You want our economy back, you want our environment back, you want all these things back. That's it. CNN Money asking the question, is this finally the economic collapse? Student loan debt now surpasses credit cards. That's from the Wall Street Journal, and I'm sure that ties in with folks essentially using school as a hideout. Fascinating, from the Associated Press, there was a money fair showcasing $100,000 bills and rare coins. I'd like to go further into that and all the interesting kind of implications that, again, as they being, of course, the multi-generational serial killers that have hijacked everything, they buy the real and sell us back the fake. And occasionally they'll let us look at it in their foundation corporate-controlled art galleries. I was watching something about the Annenberg versus the Barnes Museum in a documentary called The Art of the Steal. But continuing, U.S. electricity blackouts skyrocketing, making references back to the summer of 77. As I was about to be born, and there are, of course, massive blackouts in New York City, Son of Sam raging. David Berkowitz, interestingly enough, caught the night before I was born. Wells Fargo must pay consumers $203 million in an overdraft case. Again, that's from Bloomberg. And again, we can pay off your petty million-dollar settlements. It's a loss leader. You think it's going to hurt our bottom line? We'll pay you. You'll shut up. And we can continue to consolidate our power structure. Go back to reading People and Us and watching your TV shows. So here's the story that when I bookmarked originally said, yeah, a lot of people showed up, but there were no injuries and there was no violence and there was no arrest. A couple hours later, I checked back, story has changed. They changed it out from under my link, and that story turned into 30,000 mobbed Atlanta Housing Authority offices. And we can get that again from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. And before we hit the clip of this event, we'll again get the question from endoftheamericandream.com. Are the economic riots already starting?
The East Point Housing Authority estimates 30,000 people were on hand when they handed out public assistance applications. It was a chaotic scene as people complained about the long lines and standing out in the heat. Despite that, the Housing Authority called the event a success. Channel 2's Tom Jones is live in South Fulton County. That's where he got stuck in a crush of people trying to get an application. Tom.
Yeah, it got kind of scary there for a moment with so many people willing to run you over. Literally run you over to get one of these. That's after many spent the night here to get one, so when the doors opened, they were ready to rush in.
Look at all these people.
Even though it was chaotic,
it's a mess.
And there was mass confusion.
I should have this more like organized.
As thousands of people stood out in the searing heat.
Two kids just got hurt out here. People are passing out.
to get a public housing assistance application.
It was a success today.
The East Point Housing Authority called the event a success. That's because they expected 10,000 people to show up, and they say they had to deal with 30,000.
And we gave out over 13,000 applications in under 3 hours.
It wasn't easy. When officials realized they couldn't get everyone in the building, they had officers meet people in the street to hand out applications. That caused a feeding frenzy, one I got caught in.
Hey, you're brushing me.
But in the end,
they tried to take my paper application, and I really need this.
People like Keisha Brown got the application they prayed for. It only puts them on the waiting list to get assistance, but that doesn't matter to Brown.
We're going
to
pray over it and hope God send us a blessing.
Now, 62 people were treated by EMS, mostly for heat exhaustion. 20 people taken to the hospital, including a baby who had a seizure. Police say with all the people out here, they didn't have to arrest anyone. Now, we could see a repeat of this tomorrow. That's because the authority is allowing people to drop off applications at their office on Norman Berry, although they are asking people to mail them. They say they will be prepared, but they said that today. We're live in South Fulton County. In East Point, Dom Jones, Channel 2 Action News.
There you have it. Are the economic riots already happening? Are they being fostered? Are they being pushed and prodded? And in one of those articles, I know someone also notes some other rather riotous events where vouchers and things are being handed out, and it's been pointed out that a lot of these things are happening under the new Obamasiah, pointing out or trying to say that these kind of events are being pushed by the Obama administration. You're having whole swaths of people in these kind of melees, flash mobs, if you will. But this gets into, of course, the dicey world of racial politics that they, of course, want us mired in. And we're not going to get into all of that right now. We'll finish off the Econo Crash note with another great, informative, historically perspective take that only Webster Tarpley can give on Russia Today. Stock market tremors, Fed pessimism.
Financial hurricane continues to swirl. Panic has hit Wall Street as stocks fall lower than they've ever been in the last 6 weeks. So what does all this mean and what's going to happen next? Well, joining me to help discuss that is investigative journalist Webster Tarpley. So Webster, why don't you play fortune teller for a second? What do you predict is going to happen tomorrow? Do you think it's going to get better or worse?
Well, stock markets fluctuate. I think what we're dealing with, though, is something much bigger than just the stock market collapse. I think we're dealing with a dollar disintegration. Now, this was a worldwide event today. Everybody in the world, from Japan to Europe to the U.S., lost about 2.5 to 3%. The starting point seems to have been the Federal Reserve meeting of yesterday, which said the U.S. recovery is slowing, and therefore we're going to pump this system full of hot money once again. They call it QE2. Not the ocean liner, but quantitative easing Mark II. Now, everybody knows what happens to that. If you flood this system with liquidity, it turns into hot money and it goes abroad, which tends to sink the dollar. We've also had a spate of bad news over the last couple of weeks. We've had the unemployment rate actually rising when you really look at it. You've got foreclosures up. You've got the U.S. trade deficit at $50 billion per reporting period once again. Commercial real estate crisis coming up. And I think the biggest thing is, it's the failure of the London and Wall Street strategy to deal with this crisis, which was, if you'll recall, for the whole first half of this year, the idea was export the depression to Europe. Bigger my neighbor, attack the euro, attack Greece, attack Spain, Portugal, use that to sink the euro. And I think the goal of it was, around 3 months ago, on May 11th, I think 3 months ago today, we had the high point of this attack on the euro in terms of short contracts targeting the euro. But it didn't work. There was no collapse of the euro. If there had been a collapse of the euro, they would have been able to buy up Europe at half price and asset strip that and loot that. And it's not working. So for 3 months, we've been going sideways.
Right. And let's talk about another one of President Obama's proposals. He wanted to double American exports in the next couple of years. Is that happening? What's going on there?
No, none of this is happening. This is all rhetoric. It's all eyewash. And you can see it in the desperation that comes through from the Federal Reserve saying what they said yesterday. Now, the problem is the forces of depression in the world are still there. This is $1.5 quadrillion of toxic, kited, bankrupt derivatives. And again, the plan was to shift that onto Europe and make the Europeans pay for that. It's not working. The blitzkrieg against the euro that was supposed to basically destroy the euro in May and June hasn't worked. So now the forces of depression, those derivatives, are coming back to roost in London and New York, and you're looking, I think, at some kind of a dollar crisis.
And you pointed to a lot of different reasons for, you know, why all of this is happening, but let's speak specifically to President Obama's economic initiatives. Is this an indication that all of those aren't working, like the stimulus and everything else?
What he has done is essentially two things. The Fed with Bernanke has been putting out hot money, and that has helped the bank somewhat, but the normal economy of production has been languishing. And at the same time, you've had Pelosi and these people putting out their consumer-led Keynesian stimulus program, and that hasn't worked either. Now, it's a very ominous situation. The one way you could get out of this, if you find that the dollar is heading into a tailspin, right? If you find that China is no longer considering whether they should dump the euro, they're going to be considering whether they should dump the dollar. We'll be back where we were about a year ago before they tried this. If people start to dump the dollar, how can you save the dollar at the last moment? Well, the obvious answer is start a war in the Middle East.
We're also seeing, you know, people like Peter Orszag and, you know, Christina Romer resigning. Is that an indication that Obama hired, like, inept people to try to fix this all?
Well, Orszag, of course, was completely incompetent. He was essentially an austerity ghoul or austerity vampire. Romer, I think, also politically inept, and basically the rats are leaving the ship. Obama's headed for a tremendous defeat at the polls in November. His popularity has now gone strongly negative.
Right.
So we're in the last days of Pompeii. But again, if you want to do something for the dollar, and this seems to be where the whole Washington establishment is looking now, you start a war in the Middle East, you double the price of oil, you've doubled the demand for dollars.
That's just what the United States needs right now. Well, Webster, I can't say if I feel good when I listen to your predictions, but it's always nice to talk to you. That's Webster Tarpley, investigative journalist.
Of Tarpley.net, T-A-R-P-L-E-Y, giving you, of course, the great geopolitical and new financial world order breakdown. As we now continue down the August 12th news purge, how are you going to lift it with your arms folded tight? Let's get history mystery from Raw Story. New evidence of police brutality during Katrina. Even more coming out. There are photos and more to go along with this. The detective who found Dr. David Kelly's body has given his first interview with a link to the Daily Mail where he says, quote, "There wasn't much blood about, if any." Dr. David Kelly, of course, suicided due to his exposure of the lies leading up to the illegal war in Iraq. Surprise, surprise, Roald Dahl was a real-life James Bond-style spy, new book reveals. This is from The Telegraph, and it's just yet another World War II-era figure that we discover was working covertly as an informant for the Feds. Sometimes it's the FBI, sometimes it's MI5 or MI6. We've learned that Julia Child was, and we of course know that Aleister Crowley was. But now we have children's author Roald Dahl, UK spy. And our last history mystery note, again from The Telegraph, Winston Churchill feared panic over the Royal Air Force UFO incident in World War II.
The truth is out there somewhere, and according to new files released by the UK's Ministry of Defense, Sir Winston Churchill might have had a hand in concealing it. According to the documents, Churchill ordered the cover-up of a UFO sighting in order to prevent mass panic. We're analyzing coverage from The Guardian, Sky News, and ITN. These claims are part of the newest batch of the Ministry of Defense's UFO files, an ongoing 3-year collaboration between the Ministry of Defense and the National Archives. As The Guardian explains, the 5,000-plus page document is comprised of sighting reports, letters from the public, and the story of one Winston Churchill. It's alleged that Churchill met General Dwight D. Eisenhower to discuss an incident in the Second World War when an RAF aircraft returning from a bombing raid encountered a UFO capable of extraordinary speeds and maneuvers. It was claimed that they agreed to keep this from the public to avoid the possibility that people's belief in God and the church would be shattered. Sky News says even though no one knows the truth behind the incident, it is likely Churchill was involved.
We also know that lots of pilots saw mysterious objects during the Second World War on bombing raids. People have probably heard of the term Foo Fighters, and these were what pilots described as UFOs before the phrase flying saucer or UFO was even heard of. So I think it's quite possible that maybe Winston Churchill really was involved in this incident.
Over the years, Britain's Ministry of Defence has kept track of numerous UFO reports throughout the UK. Former MOD UFO investigator Nick Pope tells ITN, despite most cases leading to duds, some are still unexplained.
One of the most interesting and disturbing cases in this latest batch of files is a near miss between a commercial aircraft and a UFO. This happened in 1995, and both the pilot and the first officer witnessed this. There was a Civil Aviation Authority inquiry and an MOD investigation. We found no explanation at all. One of the interesting things was that on the same day as that near miss, a member of the public saw a UFO, which he described as being 20 times the size of a football field.
In an article for The Telegraph, one author hints at another kind of cover-up, writing that for decades the U.S. government encouraged the public to think they saw UFOs rather than a secret prototype aircraft. It goes back as far as the U-2 spy plane in 1956. The early version was shiny, which meant it could be seen from a long distance. Air Force staff would visit people who'd seen it and tell them it was Venus or a weather balloon. But if that didn't work, they were quite happy to leave them with the impression that it was an alien spacecraft. So what do you think? Is the truth out there, or are these mysteries going to remain unsolved? And what role, if any, do you believe Churchill played in a cover-up? I'm Alex Rozier for Newsy.com. Multiple sources, the real story.
Well, we know that Roosevelt, Churchill, and Stalin were all Freemasons. And this is too much of an area to dive into, but if you want to know a whole hell of a lot more about all of this, go check out Clyde Lewis's recent Roswell show, and you can get it on groundzeromedia.org to figure out the real sinister forces connected to the Nazis and supposed UFOs. But let's move to the media and the memes now with an article from truthout.org, How Disney Magic and Corporate Media Shape Youth Identity. We also have TV as Psychosocial Weapon from OneWorldScam.com. Another great new article from VigilantCitizen.com on Narsha and Shinny. That would be the Illuminati infiltration of K-pop. That would be Korean pop, not to be confused with J-pop, Japanese pop. And our last story segues from the media and the memes into the murder and the mayhem, and it reconnects back to our data mining and our viral videos and all of those things. So we'll start it out with the news report out of Alabama, from, I believe, WAFF, on a Alabama home invasion.
Terrifying moments for a woman who woke up to a strange man in bed with her. The woman screamed. Her brother rushed in to help and tried to fight the offender off. That break-in happened early this morning in the 500 block of Webster Drive in Huntsville. WFF 48's Elizabeth Gentle caught up with the victim. Elizabeth, emotions were running high.
And Mark, the woman, the victim, tells us that a man broke into her house and tried to rape her. Her brother went in and he tried to help her out, but the man got away, leaving behind, though, evidence of his visit.
Kelly Dodson was asleep with a little girl inside their apartment on Webster Drive when
I was attacked by some idiot from out here in the projects.
Dodson says her attacker used a garbage can to climb onto the unit's ledge, open the upstairs window, and then he got in bed with her.
He tried to rape me. He tried to pull my clothes off.
Dodson struggled with her attacker, knocking over items in her bedroom. Antoine Dodson heard his sister scream and ran to help.
Well, obviously we have a rapist
is in Lincoln Park. He's climbing in your windows. He's snatching your people up, trying to rape them. So y'all need to hide your kids, hide your wife, and hide your husband because they're raping everybody out here.
The attacker got loose and went out the upstairs window, but he did leave something behind.
We got your t-shirts. You left fingerprints and all. You are so dumb. You are really dumb. For real.
A crime scene investigator photographed and dusted for prints on the lid of the garbage can and the window pane and ledge. Dodson says he's never seen the perp before, but sends this warning to whoever is responsible.
You don't have to come and confess that you did. We're looking for you. We gonna find you. I'm letting you know now, so you can run and tell that, homeboy.
Now, if you have any information on this crime, you're urged to call Huntsville Police Department. We'll have much more from the victims of that attack coming up tonight at 6. Reporting live in Huntsville, Elizabeth Gentle, WAFF 48 News.
WAFF, that Alabama home invasion story happened. And then, wouldn't you know it, justice is more and more apt to happen. As we said, art imitates life, imitates politics, and Warhol, and all of those things. This story became a media sensation. Antoine Dodson, who you heard there, became an overnight internet sensation thanks to this remix.
Well, obviously, we have a rapist in Lincoln Park. He's climbing in your windows, he's snatching your people up, trying to rape them. So y'all need to hide your kids, hide your wife, hide your kids, hide your wife, hide your kids, hide your wife, and hide your husband, cause they're raping everybody out here. You don't have to come and confess, we're looking for you, we gon' find you, we gon' find you. So you can run and tell that, run and tell that, run and tell that, homeboy, homeboy. We got your t-shirts and the left fingerprints and all, you are so dumb. You are really gone, for real.
The man got away, leaving behind evidence. I was attacked by some idiot in the projects.
So dumb, so dumb, so dumb, so. He's climbing in your windows, he's snatching your people up, trying to rape them. So y'all need to hide your kids, hide your wife, hide your kids, hide your wife, hide your kids, hide your wife, and hide your husband, cause they're raping everybody out here. You don't have to come and confess, we're looking for you, we gon' find you, we gon' find you. So you can run and tell that, run and tell that, run and tell that, homeboy, homeboy.
Made for media monarchy, and of course, stories with all the media memes and the JetBlue songs and the Bed Intruder song, you know, they don't come along every week. And I know I've threatened time and time again that maybe someday, ultimately, the media monarchy show or some form of it will turn into more of the show you know now, mashed up with something like you just heard and something like I did back east at WSHC. And you can get a little sneak preview of that. I've mentioned it to you guys every now and then. skinnypodcasts.blogspot.com. It's a work in progress. It's my radio show from 2001 to 2005 back east, mixing and mashing. So again, yes, there are again the uncomfortable racial politics and all of these things. But if you just take a second, click those links, and you'll see the amazing amount that things have propagated and repeat and imitate and simulate. And it goes on and on and on. And you can watch the Antoine Dodson Ultimate Remix that cuts in and remixes all the other viral videos that people have done redoing this song. And again, may you live in interesting times. We're still making our way through the news purge, and now we're into the murder and mayhem. Amid metro brawl, night out becomes pandemonium. More on that from the Washington Post, and again, more on divisive racial politics and riots and melees being fostered and stoked and heralded. But our other murder and mayhem note is an interesting one, and it goes all around the world. And again, this is more racial politics, more third rail of geopolitics. Israeli arrested in Atlanta over Michigan stabbing spree.
There's been an arrest in a serial stabbing case, a case that has left a trail of carnage and violence across three states. 20 people have been attacked across Michigan, Ohio, and Virginia since May. Five of those victims have died. Police have been or people have been living in fear for 3 months, but finally a person of interest has been captured, and it happened here in Atlanta. Now a survivor of one of those attacks is speaking out. Here's what the teen had to say directly to his attacker.
Went to the first house I seen with a light on. God bless you. That's all I can say to him. I really don't got nothing to say to him. Let somebody know, man.
Tell
him. That's it, just...
I'm walking, bring closure to the situation. And my son's resting for peace in this car, you know.
Get straight to Susan Candiotti, joining us live from New York. So, Susan, what can you tell us about the arrest?
Well, what an amazing situation it was. A tip that led to this arrest that happened about 10 o'clock last night. And a Homeland Security official is telling CNN's Gene Meserve that this man is being held on murder-related charges, apparently as he was attempting to leave the country. Here's what we're hearing. It happened about 10 o'clock last night as information came to authorities that this man was at the airport in Atlanta, Hartsfield-Jackson Airport, and they say that he was boarding a flight that was headed to Tel Aviv. A law enforcement official tells me that he was traveling on an expired Israeli passport, and that just as he was about to board that plane, the TSA asked that Delta Airlines hold that flight until they could get to this man. They did. They put the cuffs on him, and they're not revealing his name just yet, but they are telling us they're working on an exact identity.
Well, this is a key step in the investigation. There's still many issues that need to be addressed before we identify this individual as the person responsible for this horrific crime spree.
So, of course, they do have the man's name, but until they can make sure that he is who they believe he is and that they can link him to the attacks, they may be doing certain, taking certain steps, such as, for example, taking a DNA sample, trying to match that to some evidence that they have. That could be why they are holding back on releasing his name. But, you know, Kira, there are several news conferences planned for this afternoon to give us updates on the situation. In the meantime, he is, of course, being held in Atlanta.
And there you have it. Again, he was heading back to Israel, and we're not going to touch the I word, the third rail of geopolitics, but I'm sure we will hear more about this story. Finally, on this August 12th news purge, how are you going to lift it with your arms folded tight? We get to the War Whores updates, where Robert Gates, former CIA, and of course was there on the ground during Operation Cyclone, where we funded the Mujahideen, which became Al-Qaeda. U.S. 2011 drawdown in Afghanistan will be limited. Amid growing clamor against the war in Afghanistan, Defense Secretary Robert Gates has cautioned that large numbers of U.S. troops will remain even after a limited July 2011 drawdown. Despite mounting casualties and public doubts, Gates said last Sunday the U.S.-led force was making headway and Taliban insurgents would not be able to wait out American forces because a major troop withdrawal was not on the horizon. Not that we, you know, fund both sides or anything. U.S. supersizes Afghan mega base as withdrawal date looms. That's from Danger Room. So we've gone from mega farms to mega bases. And a fascinating one from allgov.com asking the musical question, is Time Magazine part of a CIA strategy to gain support for the Afghan war? The August 9th edition of Time Magazine features a cover photo of an Afghan woman who had her nose chopped off, along with the headline, "What Happens If We Leave Afghanistan?" The implication was that, despite the increasing unpopularity of the war, the U.S. should continue the fight. As independent as Time may be, they were started by Henry Luce, Skull and Bones, Life magazine. All gov will admit that much. Their position and timing fit in perfectly with the strategy proposed in a March CIA document that was, hey, released by WikiLeaks. Following the terrorist attacks of 9/11, George Tenet, CIA director, created a red cell that would think unconventionally about the full range of relevant analytic issues. After the collapse of the Netherlands government in February of this year over the issue of Dutch troops in Afghanistan, and they, of course, have now left, the CIA Red Cell issued a memo that explored strategies to shore up support for the war in other NATO nations. Polling has shown that women in Germany and France are less likely to support the continuing fight in Afghanistan than men. So among the suggestions in the memo was this one, quote, Afghan women could serve as ideal messengers in humanizing the ISAF, NATO-led International Security Assistance Force role in combating the Taliban because of women's ability to speak personally and credibly about their experiences under the Taliban, their aspirations for the future, and their fears of a Taliban victory. Media events that feature testimonials by Afghan women would probably be the most effective if broadcast on programs that have large and disproportionately female audiences. Thanks again, Mighty Wurlitzer. That's a term for CIA infiltrated and controlled media. Attack kills U.S. and foreign doctors on a medical mission in northern Afghanistan. That's from the Washington Post. Former Blackwater workers face new slaying indictment. But again, that doesn't stop us from doing business with these guys. DynCorp Halliburton can run child kidnapping and slavery rings, and it doesn't matter because they're involved intricately in the critical infrastructure of the global war of terror. William Blum on KillingHope.org, of course, the author of Rogue State and Killing Hope, has a great new article asking to please tell him again, what's the war about? Special Forces Robocopter spotted in Belize. That's from Danger Room. Of course, we like to test out our surveillance and soul-crushing weapons and deployments and toys, of course, brought to us by folks like the aforementioned and General Electric and on and on. You know, we got to test it out abroad before we bring it home. Can't have anybody crying, you know, war crimes, as of course the military has admitted. U.S. to sell fighter jets to the Saudis, which is interesting enough from the Wall Street Journal, but when you learn that they won't have any weapons or guidance systems or anything on there, because Israel didn't want it to. Russia and U.S. chase jet in hijack drill in a historic first for Cold War adversaries. U.S., Canadian, and Russian military officers directed fighter jets and ground controllers to test how well they could track an international terrorist hijacking. We know how well they've done in the past. And we've gone over this drill. I can't recall the operation. I think it's Noble Eagle. Of course, we covered this last week. This drill that they're talking about being over is originally, as we reported last week, scheduled to run until August 14th, tomorrow. But we shall see. Pentagon to shut military command and cut jobs. That's from Reuters. Cutting, I believe, the JFCOM. Oh, no. But before we, of course, say, hey, great, they're tightening their belt on the war machine. We also note, again from allgov.com, Pentagon gives up on reducing contractors. Only a year ago, the DoD announced a commitment to reduce the number of contractors it uses for various services and functions. That plan's already been discarded by Gates, who quietly dropped the goal of cutting contractor totals by 33,000 within 5 years when he announced plans for deep personnel cuts and eliminating a major military command, which we just referenced for you there. So we're going to cut the people who actually work for the government and just outsource it. That's the best kind of sourcing. U.S. warned of a threat worse than Katrina, the plague, and World War II. And yes, we cover this on cyberspacewar.com, but here it is again. We've got to cross-pollinate and cross-reference and cross-post things to get these stories out. Warning of course, EMPs and CMEs, electromagnetic pulses and coronal mass ejections, solar storms. Coming soon to punch you in the Facebook. Fisheries Service gives Navy permission to kill or harm 27 species in Pacific training. I know in the past we've covered the military versus the animals, but here it is again. More receiving top secret security clearance from the FBI for terrorism cases. That's from USA Today. Part two of a great ongoing piece from Michelle Chosadovsky on globalresearch.ca toward a World War III scenario. Part two, the role of Israel in an attack on Iran. And we'll round and tie all this together with a report from Tarpley.net and a clip just from the Associated Press on Fidel Castro warning of imminent nuclear war.
He's back, looking lively and healthy, if not a little frail. Former Cuban leader Fidel Castro on Saturday made his first official government appearance in 4 years. Members of the Cuban parliament gave him a standing ovation. Some chanted his name, and others were brought to tears by the sight of him once again at the dais.
El presidente Barack Obama.
The soon-to-be 84-year-old got right down to business, delivering an 11-minute speech in which he appealed to President Barack Obama to prevent a global nuclear war. Castro, dressed in his familiar olive-green fatigues, has been making more public appearances as of late. He had been kept out of the public eye after he underwent emergency intestinal surgery in 2006. His brother took the reins after that, but now some are wondering if Fidel will take a larger leadership role in the nation. He took some questions from members of parliament before walking out to yet another standing ovation. Sandy Kozel, The Associated Press.
Good grief, there's so much to go over. I don't know if we're going to get through it all, but that brings an end to the August 12th news purge, my friends. How are you going to lift it with your arms folded tight? And I should now tell you that we are well into hour number two of episode 182 from Media Monarchy. It's Friday the 13th, August 2010. My name is James Evan Pilato. I'm your host and webmaster of the site and show MediaMonarchy.com, as well as NewWorldNextWeek.com, FoodWorldOrder.com, and CyberspaceWar.com. And we're going to get to all of those either in brief or lengthy detail. And again, episode 182, broadcasting live from the Portland Radio Authority, as always, praradio.org, and a huge thanks to ZeroPointRadio.com and RevereRadio.net for simulcasting Media Monarchy live on Friday mornings. And again, thanks to all the other outlets that rebroadcast and help spread the word about Media Monarchy. That's how it works. That's how we spread all this, and that's how it keeps going. I'll tell you stuff, you tell me stuff, and we'll learn things from each other. So let's move now to police state updates, threats, and intercepts. And we'll start off with something from NBCWashington.com, where DHS is warning the DC Metro about a threat, or DHS threatening the DC Metro about warnings.
An internal Homeland Security memo obtained by News 4 outlines the plan. According to it, at some point recently, someone went to Turkey to get a United States visa to travel to the United States and blow up an unspecified metro station. Metro officials are downplaying the threat.
The information that we have has a low level of credibility at this time.
But Chief David Webb says Metro Police has been in contact with the intelligence community.
There's not a lot of information that suggests a time, a place, or that this person is even capable of conducting such a crime.
Passengers who ride the rails regularly did not know anything about Monday's threat, but say they've all but become desensitized.
That's always been on my mind ever really since 9/11, and I just sort of have to embrace it as part of what we have to deal with living here in D.C.
It's still always, I think, in the back of your mind, but I mean that's a scary part. That's something definitely going to be in the back of my mind when I'm on the train.
Metro says riders should always be vigilant and conscious of what's going on around them and report anything suspicious. On top of that, the transit agency says since December they've had 20 additional officers whose only job is to patrol the 1,500 square miles of rail, investigating even low-level threats like Mondays. While that's metro-wide, Montgomery County has increased the number of training exercises like this one they conducted last spring. The county maintains that the additional exercises have been in the works for a while and have nothing to do with a specific threat.
And if any more information comes up, we may end up changing our posture on how we deploy based on that intelligence.
Oh, District of Criminals. Of course, ever since the false flag event of the Christmas bomber, who was, of course, shepherded by intelligence agencies, was on all the watch lists but bypassed all the regular checkpoints that suckers like you and I would go through. And of course, ever since then, it's been paranoia. And you heard it right there that they're worried that people are desensitized. We haven't had a big enough terror attack since 9/11 to keep people scared and to keep people believing in this boogeyman and stop the Orwellian grid system that's rapidly being constructed around every single one of us. We noted last week, of course, that the See Something, Say Something campaign is expanding to the District of Criminals. And there you have more threataganda. If we jump over to the National Guard, NG.mil, Texas Guard and the Czech Army trains for disasters in Operation Lone Star. Dateline, Waslaco, Texas. For joint members of the Texas Military Forces, the Department of State Health Services, and local civil agencies, preparedness means more than a ready standing force. That's right. International armies training with local military forces. It's all for law enforcement. It's all for the phony war of terror. It's all to desensitize you to seeing the military roll down the street. It's all to desensitize the military to getting used to telling civilians what to do. Because everything changed. We'll mention again the Russian-U.S. hijacking drill. Again, more on that from the Associated Press as we get back into racial politics and border wars and immigration issues. 60,000 babies of non-citizens get U.S. birthright in Texas. That's coming from the Dallas Morning News, dallasnews.com, and from Raw Story. According to a poll, 49% support repealing that birthright citizenship. If you're born in the country, you're automatically a citizen, even if your parents aren't. So again, getting into the massive memes building towards a North American Union. And it ties in, of course, with the birther meme and everything else. As we also note, the Gates Foundation gave millions of dollars to La Raza. That would be one of those foundation-funded groups meant to stir up, divide and conquer, play the race card, play the racial war. We'll all be ready to destroy each other at a moment's notice. Of course, you should know that La Raza means the race. Coast Guard intercepts unauthorized plane in D.C. More on that from NASDAQ.com. CIA imposter arrested in Orlando. More on that from WFTV.com. Naked body scanners coming soon to JFK, Newark, and LaGuardia. That's from NBCNewYork.com. And coming soon, damaged DNA, lewd photos, snide remarks, dehumanizing behavior. All because of, again, or at least built off of, the latest phony event. And again, that would be Mutilab, the underwear bomber. FBI has a backlog of 3,200-plus DNA cases. More on that from, again, allgov.com. And finally, on the police state updates, threats and intercepts from cryptogon.com and CBS 13. California law would put cameras in cars.
Crashes caught on tape, your driving mishaps captured on windshield-mounted video cameras. California lawmakers are considering this controversial bill tomorrow. It would give your driving record a whole new meaning.
As Jonas Tischner shows us, the dashcam bill is raising questions about privacy and just how much the government should know about you and how you drive.
They are the ultimate freedom, the keys to your very own car. But a new bill is taking aim at what goes on behind the wheel. Everything that you say and do could be caught on tape. It's called AB 1942, AB for Assembly Bill, and some are referring to it as the dash cam bill. The reason for it, good intention, as these drive cam videos show. A driver, not wearing his seatbelt, nods off. Seconds later, and watch that black pickup truck driving along a wet highway. Probably the worst, a semi swerving on a busy freeway. The author of the bill is an assembly member from San Diego who says the intention isn't to invade privacy, but monitor your driving, which can lead to better driving habits and save lives. Let's face it, cars are pretty smart already, but AB 1942 would take it to a whole new level with the ability to record video and sound, tell which direction you were going and how fast. Also records a history of where you've been. It's able to record steering and brake performance as well as whether or not you were wearing your seatbelt. All of it readily transmittable to a central location anytime you are in an accident. While the bill is actually aimed at safety, some believe that it's nothing more than an overreach of government power.
I think that's an invasion of privacy. Yeah, I don't think I would like that in my car.
Having devices like that, I think it infringes on our own privacy. We have less of that enough as it is.
Especially with the privacy nowadays, with the cameras all over, I mean, what do you expect for your vehicle?
little too big brothery for you.
Yeah, too much.
No one at DriveCam was available for comment, but they are listed as a support for the bill. The American Civil Liberties Union says they are not opposed to the bill, but they have a few privacy concerns. They want to make sure that the video monitor is recognized by the state as that belonging to the vehicle owner. They also want the device to have some sort of on and off switch.
All right, thank you, Jonas. And the bill would also require car manufacturers to disclose to passengers that they are being continuously recorded by a device installed in the vehicle.
And as Cryptogon.com notes on this story of this proposed California law that would put cameras in all our cars, that we're sure the FBI wouldn't access those cameras like they access the microphones on cell phones that everybody's carrying around. No, never. We can, of course, source that back to CNET.com, FBI taps cell phone mic as eavesdropping tool. But let's not worry about that. And also, not to mention that that clip is essentially half snuff film showing people being killed in car wrecks, which, again, if you want to talk about terror and things that kill people, it would be cars. They scare the hell out of you into saying, oh, well, maybe we should have these cameras in our car. It'll make us a better driver. Connecting everything to the grid. Let's move quickly now to another week of interesting, conveniently timed deaths. Matt Simmons, CFR and oily insider and BP critic, dead of heart attack. We get this story from Zero Hedge, and we have a lot of links to all the conflicting stories that, of course, may or may not still exist on those pages. That's why we always remind you to save a PDF of the articles, especially on stories like these, where it's going to change. You know it's going to change. Matt Simmons, dead of apparent heart attack. So again, Zero Hedge, Cryptogon, CNBC, Bangor Daily News, Houston Biz Journals, WLBZ, KJ Online, Digital Journal of Goats and Men, clips from YouTube, and that's how we're going to break this down. We've noted Matt Simmons in the weeks and months during the Gulf oil spill. He's a Bush-connected oil man. He's a member of the Council on Foreign Relations. However, he was quite outspoken in his criticism of British Petroleum in their mishandling of the Gulf oil spill. So let's break this down. Matthew Simmons, Council on Foreign Relations, oily insider, BP critic, dead of heart attack.
Matt Simmons, a prominent oil industry expert who lately was very outspoken about the cover-up going on in the Gulf of Mexico by BP and the federal government, was found dead in his home after supposedly drowning after apparently suffering from a heart attack. Matt was very vocal on several nationwide news programs making claims that have led some people to question his sanity, as well as blowing the whistle on BP and the government on several issues. Matt Simmons was very well connected to oil industry insiders and top government officials in charge of regulating the oil industry. As a result of those connections, Matt was able to blow the whistle on several lies that BP and the government were making to the public. Matt called the claims of only 5,000 barrels a day leaking into the Gulf of Mexico preposterous, and instead, he conjectured that there must be at least a minimum of 120,000 barrels of oil per day leaking into the Gulf. Matt also reported that there were leaks 5 to 7 miles away, which were later confirmed by a NOAA report issued by the Thomas Jefferson. Matt Simmons also revealed that the NOAA ships had discovered huge underwater plumes of oil at 1,100 meters below the surface of the Gulf of Mexico, claiming that they covered up to 40% of the Gulf. He made those claims at the same time that NOAA and the federal government and BP were publicly denying the existence of underwater plumes of oil. Matt recently made national headlines by stating BP would go bankrupt because they didn't have enough money to clean up the Gulf of Mexico, as well as making claims that the well integrity and the pressure of BP's leaking well were so high that nothing on Earth, short of a nuclear weapon, could close this well. Just recently, after BP capped the well, Matt stood by his earlier claims that the well being shown to the public was a fake. and he reinstated his claims that BP had a second well leaking somewhere in the Gulf of Mexico. The untimely death of Matt Simmons, combined with his continual use of his government connections to blow the whistle on BP and the government, raises questions of whether Matt Simmons really died of natural causes or if he was assassinated by the United States government. The number one suspect for assassinating Matt Simmons is the CIA, because under the rule of the Obama administration, the CIA has the ability to place anyone, including American citizens, deemed as a national security threat on what is known as a kill list.
And of course, it's not just the Obama administration, it's the continuation from the previous puppet administration. And of course, it's not officially done by the United States government. Things like this are pulled off by rogue elements within the intelligence and military networks. They're compartmentalized, they're fractionalized. And perhaps in this case of Matt Simmons, perhaps it was an insider blowing the whistle a little too loudly and insistently on BP. And again, these questions of nuke weapons and Corexit and all of the things swirling around the Gulf oil spill that unfortunately we're not going to know about until a bit more time goes by. But again, I implore you to check out all of the links in here, sourcing out, sussing out this story as best we can. Again, he drowned, or it was a heart attack, or he had a heart attack and was drowned, or was he suicided? Or was he old dude, old oil guy who spent too long in the hot tub and his heart burst? We shall see. Matthew Simmons, CFR, oil insider, BP critic, dead of quote-unquote heart attack. We jump to a couple of the other deaths in the last week. Former Alaska Senator Ted Stevens dies in plane crash. Plane-carrying former Senator Ted Stevens and ex-NASA chief Sean O'Keefe crashed near a remote fishing village in Alaska, killing the longtime senator and at least four others. This being early reportage from the Associated Press. Crash, a stunning event in the state where Stevens became the most beloved political figure in Alaska history during his 40 years in the Senate, earning a reputation as a tireless advocate for projects that brought millions of federal dollars to the state. There are more links to flesh this story out on who was in the crash and who passed away, and of course the NASA connections, and there are links that we can really get the on-the-ground take from Sarah Palin, and a lot of other things from MSNBC. However, you might remember Ted Stevens as noting that the internet isn't like a truck. It's a series of tubes. However, showing yet again, it's all related. We'll send you to godlikeproductions.com, which is essentially a forum. And again, I don't generally recommend spending any amount of time on forums or comment boards. But this brings out the pertinent point. And it sources back to Huffington Post and Associated Press earlier in the year. Ted Stevens knew British Petroleum cheated on their BOP tests, the blowout preventer tests. Chew on that. The other related update, former Illinois Representative Dan Rostenkowski dies at the age of 82. More on that from the Washington Times. The Matt Simmons situation is indeed a fishy one. However, I'm not saying the same about either Stevens or Rostenkowski. Again, we don't want to try and be the kind of outlet that cries wolf, says everything is an inside job. We tend to sniff out where the good data sends us. And a lot of these stories, and as you start to do all this more and more and more and become hopefully more media literate, and again, it takes time. Although, yes, we'd maybe also just like to go Luddite and go start a farm somewhere. But until that day, becoming more media literate, seeing what's going on, seeing how these things play out. It's not everything that's a false flag. It's not everything that's a conspiracy. But when you do this for a while, you'll start to see and notice those signs that you see in the early reporting of events. And you'll start to see the stories change again. Save your articles. Finally, on MediaMonarchy.com, before we hit all the other related alternative news sites from my own and others that I admire, let's get an interesting, brutal take from Niall Gardner, writing on the Telegraph, that the Obama presidency resembles a modern-day ancien régime, or essentially an ancient regime. More on that in just a moment. So the backdrop to this is that while Obama is preaching sacrifice, his family is frolicking in Spain, as we covered last week. But Niall Gardner, writing for the Telegraph, notes, "What the French historian Alexis de Tocqueville would make of today's Obama administration were he alive today is anyone's guess. But I would wager that the author of L'Ancien Régime and Democracy in America would be less than impressed with the extravagance and arrogance on display among the White House elites that rule America as though they've been handed some divine right to govern with impunity." We've, of course, already noted the bloodlines. "It's the kind of impunity that's been highlighted on the world stage this past week by Obama's hugely costly trip to Spain, which prompted New York Post columnist Andrea Tentaris to dub the First Lady a contemporary Marie Antoinette. As we noted last week, let them eat cake, or let them eat Corexit. As the Telegraph reports, while the Obamas are covering their own vacation expenses, such as accommodation, the trip may cost U.S. taxpayers as much as $375,000 in terms of Secret Service security and flight costs on Air Force Two. But the timing of this lavish European vacation could not have come at a worse moment when unemployment in America stands at 10% and large numbers of Americans are fighting to survive financially in the wake of the global economic downturn. It sends a message of indifference, even contempt, for the millions of Americans who are struggling just to feed their families on a daily basis and pay the mortgage, while the size of the national debt balloons to Greek-style proportions." There it is again, referencing the Greek situation as analogous to our own here in the crumbling Western order. "I thought Obama was going to pay people's mortgages and hand out free housing and again, do all these things that we see the signs and the dots and the puzzle pieces connecting." That article goes on, and again, these are things that we've gone over this and previous weeks as the polls go down, and we have Clinton insiders saying, "Well, I think ultimately Obama and the Democrats are probably sunk for the midterm elections this November. Unless, of course, there's a terror attack like 9/11. Let's get the rest of the Obama Saya updates from The Guardian and from TheHill.com. Robert Gibbs, of course, mouthpiece, the current mouthpiece, and as we've always noted, it's entertaining to watch how quickly sometimes these people can turn over as they can only get out and lie so much and maintain any kind of credibility if they ever had any to begin with. But anyway, Gibbs noted that left-wing critics of Obama ought to be drug-tested. White House unloads anger over criticism from the professional left. And there's a lot of truth in this. And this is what's interesting, and that's why we say the most effective way to attack this current puppet with a D after his name, again, as opposed to the previous puppet with an R after his name, is attack him from the left, his supposed support. That isn't really there. It's ghosted. White House Press Secretary Robert Gibbs says Obama's critics on the left are crazy and then tries to apologize. "I hear these people saying he's like George Bush. Those people ought to be drug tested. I mean, it's crazy." But of course, there is something to say about the professional left. As we've noted time and time again, these are the foundation-funded left-gatekeeping media outlets who essentially keep the fake left-right paradigm propped up. And they support all these ghouls, again, rah-rah for my team, and it's all divide and conquer. That's all you'll see on the foundation-funded blogs and media sites is only attacking that other team. That's what they do. That's how they do it. Another great one on VeteransToday.com, and we have noted this in the past, but of course it's always worth mentioning again and again and again. And it goes deeper. But let's get into, again, remind you of Obama's CIA pedigree. And of course, we reported in the last year that Obama's more than 1 year employment by a CIA front operation called Business International Corporation, BIC, of New York, after his graduation from Columbia in 1983. However, the State Department's recent revelation in response to a FOIA request that the pre-65 passport files of Obama's mother, Stanley Ann Dunham Satoru, were, whoops, destroyed in the 80s that we mentioned and reported last week to you, reignited suspicions that Obama's mother worked for the CIA under non-official cover in Indonesia while married to Lolo Satoru, a retired colonel in General Suharto's CIA-backed ranks. It's all so cozy, isn't it, friends? Barry Satoru's political dynasty crashing and burning again. Barring some sort of catalyzing catastrophic event that we may get before November, some sort of October surprise. And that's how the game rolls on. We note around the other Congress critters and controlled left and right, former Obama campaigner caught provocateuring as a racist Tea Partier, saying blatantly racist provocateuring things, saying he supports Rand Paul, has been outed as an Obama campaign manager, and all the screen grabs and all the Facebook pages and all the things link back and show it completely true. So again, both sides completely corrupt and controlled. Sometimes it's the Acorn Pimp video scandal with O'Keefe. Sometimes it's this guy posing as a racist Tea Partier. You've got provocateurs inside of co-opted groups, inside of larger political structures. The left and right prop each other up. But again, you see both sides. No one side of the phony left-right bird has any monopoly on pulling false flag events. That's exactly what this is. Former Obama campaigner caught provocateuring as racist Tea Partier. Connecticut GOP elects a wrestling mogul over a guy who correctly predicted the current financial meltdown, again showing us perhaps what dire situations we're really in. We elect action stars, wrestling stars. Oregon may be about to get a basketball star as a senator. And we wonder what kind of trouble we're in and how we got into this situation. We've noted polls recently that people said just pick random people from the phone book couldn't be any worse than what we have now. And further pointing out, again, the divide and conquer, the us versus them, all of these things that are being fostered and engendered, and hopefully even myself by reporting and even sometimes poking fun at some of these events and memes. I don't want to amplify it. I don't want to play into the echo chamber. I don't want to give in to this divide and conquer. COINTELPRO style infiltration and all the favorite cards at the top of the deck always being deployed, ready for us to tear each other apart across our little tribal lines that they love to get us in. But here it is. We'll close out with this one on the Obamasiah. Obama was booed in video form at a Boy Scout jamboree. Now, I believe presidents always make it to this thing in person, and perhaps Obama didn't go in person. So the Boy Scouts didn't like that. Not, of course, that I'm saying rah-rah Boy Scouts, but again, all these stories are interesting. That's not the clip I have, however. I almost forgot. Let's break down before we hop on to all the other alternative news and learn a little more about Marie Antoinette.
In the hills above the Costa del Sol, U.S. First Lady Michelle Obama and her daughter Sasha spent Saturday morning sightseeing in bucolic Ronda, one of Spain's oldest cities. Mrs. Obama's five-day visit to Spain, in which she traveled aboard a government-owned 757, has raised a lot of eyebrows at home, where the U.S. economy is still struggling. Her holiday, which required a security detail of up to 70 people, including a 13-car motorcade, will cost U.S. taxpayers several hundred thousand dollars, even though the White House says Mrs. Obama is picking up all the costs of her family's personal expenses. Some critics have argued that while the Obamas have preached the value of sacrifice to Americans, Mrs. Obama is not heeding that advice. On Sunday, Michelle Obama has an invitation to lunch with Spain's King Juan Carlos and Queen Sofia at their summer palace on the island of Mallorca before flying back home to Washington. John Decker, Reuters.
Now, of course, everybody has a right to have a good time and go shopping and do all of these things. But again, it smacks of, just as we noted in that article from Niall Gardner on The Telegraph, that it's just kind of in bad taste. Timing's kind of bad. Having said that, now let's briefly, and can't unfortunately do any of the remaining stories justice as we're down to our last 15 minutes here on episode 182 from MediaMonarchy.com. But the latest episode of NewWorldNextWeek.com is up, the weekly video series from myself and James Corbett of CorbettReport.com. Food safety, net neutrality, take this job and shove it. Of course, the shove it we already went over with the Stephen Slater meme and all the others. We're going to quickly get to food safety and net neutrality. But again, always implore you to check out NewWorldNextWeek.com. James Corbett does a fantastic job editing and putting those videos together. Again, 10-ish minutes a week is a great bite-sized form. You can send it out to folks who perhaps wouldn't take the time or couldn't, can't maybe take the time to listen to 2-hour podcasts. As fun and power-packed as they may be, NewWorldNextWeek.com. We already referenced COINTELPRO, latest episode 141 from CorbettReport.com, How to Divide and Conquer, COINTELPRO Counterintelligence Program, alive and well in the technotronic era as governments around the world hire in agents to infiltrate groups, post comments, and hack blogs in the name, all in the name of maintaining social order. The question, as always, is can we learn from history or are we doomed to repeat it? Latest interviews, monthly interview with Bob Chapman of TheInternationalForecaster.com, the latest Sunday update video, The Naked Truth, Fluoride Poison, and 9/11 Responder Strike Back, all that and so much more from CorbettReport.com. We also have the latest episodes from GroundZeroMedia.org, Clyde Lewis, Sunday Nights, blasting out 50,000 watts on KUFO 101.1 FM in Portland, Oregon. Talked about neuro-linguistic programming. You better think twice at least one more time. And if you're not familiar with neuro-linguistic programming, get this episode, check it out. Links in there for you to do a little more study on NLP. And again, your support of GroundZeroMedia.org and, of course, ZeroPointRadio.com makes all these things happen and helps them to continue. So, I know last week we mentioned Alex Ansari, Outside the Box. The one we went over last week, 262, was labeled as the final episode, but here we are another week. Here's episode 263. We're going to have to get Alex Ansari back on the show to get all the latest from him. Again, one of the other great alternative independent media folks here in Portland, Oregon. Haven't had him on since episode 75. But quickly now, let's hop to cyberspacewar.com, covering all the attacks on inner and outer space. We'll go over the DEF CON list of headlines, cyber lies, and gag orders. And again, unfortunately, as we're running out of time, I can't do justice to these. But something you'll always hear, and this is what helps beat the drums for the iPatriot Act that will be shoved down our throats after an I-9-11, not to mention EMPs and CMEs and all of those other things, but the cyber lie has been exposed. Power plants not connected to the internet. This article from Paul Joseph Watson, as well as Threat Level and Danger Room. debunks this fear-mongering meme put forth by Lieberman that, of course, he already noted. You know, China has great internet controls. We need that here, he said. So again, I just said it, let's say it again. DHS needs to take threat of EMP attack seriously, physicist warns. That's from securitymanagement.com. Google CEO Eric Schmidt notes that no anonymity is the future of the web. You'd even argue it's quite the present of the web. Google also was raided by South Korean police over the Street View probe. The Google Y Spy situation that's still ongoing. Appeals court rules against secret police GPS tracking. More on that from Threat Level. Cars hacked through wireless tire sensors. That's from ArsTechnica.com. GOI and Digital Globe get $7 billion from Intel agencies to implement next-generation satellite imagery. That's from Popular Science. And a little bit of good news at the end of this DEF CON. John Doe, who fought FBI spying, freed from his gag order finally after 6 years. More on that from Threat Level. Because he was given a NSL, National Security Letter, which means stop what you're doing and you can't tell anybody about it or why. But also on cyberspacewar.com, cops love iPhone data trails. Criminals who use device may be left without alibi. This from the Chicago Sun-Times. Detective Josh Fazio of the Will County Sheriff's Department in Illinois loves it when an iPhone turns up as evidence in a criminal case. When someone tells me they have an iPhone in a case, I say, yeah, I can do tons with an iPhone. Because they store more data than other phones, and investigators such as Fazio frequently can tap into that information for evidence. When you hit the delete button, it's never really deleted. The devices can help police learn where you've been, what you've been doing there, and whether you've got something to hide, because you're guilty. Pre-crime. And they, of course, end it with, as they do all these things, they sell it to you with a nice public relations sheen as we pave the road to hell with these supposed good intentions. Sometimes the phones can even help if the case isn't a matter of life and death. In Kane County, Illinois, the Sheriff's Department used GPS information from one of the phones to help reunite a worried father with his runaway daughter who was staying at a friend's house. Lastly, on cyberspacewar.com, the Google-Verizon deal, the end of the net as we know it, or Verizugal, if you like, unveiling their new private net neutrality deal. This from Josh Silver on Free Press, and we do cover this on the latest newworldnextweek.com. For years, internet advocates have warned of the doomsday scenario that played out on Monday. Verizugal, or Google and Verizon, will announce a deal that the New York Times reported, quote, could allow Verizon to speed some online content to internet users more quickly if the content's creators are willing to pay for the privilege. And, of course, they'll have the deep pockets, and they will pay for that privilege. This deal marks the beginning of the end of the net as you and I know it. Since its beginnings, the net was a level playing field that allowed all content to move at the same speed, whether it's ABC News or your uncle's video blog. That's all about to change, and the result couldn't be more bleak for the future of internet, for television, for radio, and for independent voices. Stew on that. Essentially, half Congress will do pretty much whatever phone and cable companies ask them to do. Add to that the cloud of Google, and you have near complete control of Capitol Hill. And we can sum it up like this. This is essentially Verizugal saying, FCC, you have no authority over us and you're not going to do anything about it. Congress, we own you and we'll get whatever legislation we want. And American people, you can't stop us. Is that what it's coming down to? We've talked sometimes briefly, sometimes in greater detail about something that's referred to as Internet 2. And we've just made the simple analogy that it's basically going to be like a new toll road. You know, there are the roads that we've all already paid for, and we pay for the upkeep and the privilege of using them. But they're quietly building toll roads. And they'll let some people choose, and we'll see Rupert Murdoch and all of these outlets starting to charge for content that'll be exclusive and great. and they'll slowly let those old roads fall apart and essentially force us onto this, the new tubes, to again quote the late Ted Stevens. All of that is unfortunately on deck, and again, time and time again, we note that Richard Clark and Professor Lawrence Lessig and others have noted there is an iPatriot Act of sorts sitting on the shelf waiting for a catalyzing catastrophic event. Will that be virtual flag terrorism? Will it be an EMP? Will it be a CME? We don't know. Finally now, let's blast through all the latest on foodworldorder.com, and we'll first hit the binge and purge connections and escapes. A great new article from farmwars.info. And the author is the webmaster of farmwars.info, Barbara Peterson, which I discovered while reading through this article, The Codex Fluoride Auschwitz-Monsanto Connection. Yes, you heard that right. And I'm going through all the sourcing and documentation. And again, it all links back to IG Farben and IG Auschwitz and Bayer and BASF. We hopefully are going to talk to farmwars.info very soon. Hopefully that's going to be our first Food World Order exclusive interview. Hopefully a lot of these things and more are coming up in the next couple of weeks. GM crop escapes into the American wild. Shit hit the fan plan, asking the question, are you ready to move to a farm? More on the dark side of vitamin water. We noted last week the case is going forward. This week there's a new article from John Robbins, of course, the son of the Baskin-Robbins empire who shunned it all. Vitamin water, of course, Coca-Cola's sugary drink sold to you as a health drink. And from MoneyNews.com, food prices already starting to skyrocket, this tying in, of course, with Russia and with wheat and with other environmental calamities. But one of the stories we hit on New World Next Week is this one from Food Safety News. Corporations spending millions lobbying for food safety. Now, fortunately, the Senate updated its lobbying disclosure database with second quarter spending information for 2010. We can now look and see that McDonald's and ConAg and Cargill and Starbucks are all lobbying Congress to talk about, you know, things they really care about, like food labeling and childhood nutrition and climate change and global warming. And, of course, Senate Bill 510, the so-called Food Safety Modernization Act. We don't have time to go into what's called Codex Alimentarius, but that's what's referenced in that Farm Wars article, the Codex Auschwitz-Monsanto Fluoride Connections. And again, hopefully we're going to dive more and more into this. But if this is what these guys are spending their money on, and again, corporations are people, you can see what's coming down the pike. They fund Congress. They get to write the legislation. It benefits the corporations. And again, to go back to our viral meme of take this job and shove it, corporate media now pushing and celebrating the idea of taking two beers and jump. Because if you quit, we don't have to fire you or give you benefits. Our last note on Food World Order has a clip, but we don't have time for it anymore. But you should definitely check it out, where a guest on CNN says that BPA is good for you. Dr. Whelan, W-H-E-L-A-N, during an interview on CNN with Council on Foreign Relations Sanjay Gupta, states there are misconceptions about chemicals. She goes on to say that the claims about BPA are absurd, citing the long-term existence of BPA as an example of a harmless trace chemical. Ken Cook of Environmental Working Group countered by, of course, noting that there's strong evidence that trace chemicals have indeed caused health risks, and while the FDA may deem something safe, the same was once said for paint and cigarettes. There's still so much more, but perhaps my throat isn't working. I'd like to do more justice to all of these stories and go into greater detail, but again, we can't do it here. I appreciate your contact and again, your support, your donations, your news tips, all those things help make all of this work better. And again, keep an eye out for hopefully some new interviews coming soon and a lot of other things going on in the media monarchy kingdom. But quickly now, let's glance at some of the creepy customers coming to MediaMonarchy.com in the past week. Law School Admission Council out of Newtown, Pennsylvania, Googled ancient regime. WNYC Radio out of New York City Googled Matt Simmons murdered. Council on Foreign Relations, they also Googled CFR, BP, oil. Again, this all relating to Matt Simmons, suicided BP oil critic, Council on Foreign Relations member. Oh, and look, Naval Ocean Systems Center out of Arlington, Virginia. Northern and Shell out of London Googled airport scanner ogling. And finally, of course, what would it be without a visit from the USAISC headquarters, this time out of Davenport, Iowa. That's how we roll, my friends. All your alternative news, politics, conspiracies, and cover-ups, your data mining, your media memes, your viral videos, all remixed for your pleasure here. My name is James Evan Pilato. I am your host and webmaster of the site and show at MediaMonarchy.com, reminding you to, one, not hate the media, become the media, and, of course, as always, get active or get radioactive. Take care.
MediaMonarchy.com is your source for alternative news, politics, conspiracies, and cover-ups. Featuring weekly radio shows on the Portland Radio Authority, PRAradio.org, the World Network video series with CorbettReport.com, plus special interview episodes, B-sides, mixtapes, and so much more. Send news tips to MediaMonarchy@gmail.com. You can make a donation, or mail Media to the Monarchy, at P.O. Box 12165, Portland, Oregon 97212. Thanks to all the internet and community radio stations who broadcast these shows, and most of all, thanks to you. Remember, don't hate the media, become the media.
Whether you went on with the diary, or whether you did not go on with it, made no difference. The thought police would get him just the same.